There are a special few that can do it, and it's really about standing up and being heard. Don't be afraid to say what you think. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cheer. Don't be afraid to give some time. Give some money, because you have that and you have something to share. So it's really about your audience are, I believe, if the entrepreneurs, these guys are the brave ones, the ones we need.
In 1837, Horace Mann created the education system, a system at the time designed to pump out factory workers and professors, the same system that is still being used today in the 21st century. Now, Mann's system is backfiring. We are being molded by the same industrial system that has existed for close to 200 years. That system delivers us into a digital economy that has no need of our outdated skills. This isn't our teachers' fault. This isn't the government's fault. This is due to a rapidly changing world full of technology and unforeseen circumstances. And us Gen Zs are caught in the middle. Welcome to the Driven Young Podcast, the podcast for stressed, overwhelmed young Australians, teaching you practical life skills you can implement now to set yourself up in life. And now your host, Byron Dempsey.
Welcome back to the Driven Young Podcast. Today I'm joined by David Montgomery, or better known as Monty. We actually recorded this episode a while ago, but there was a chainsaw in the background. It was really, really annoying, so I decided to get him back and re-record an episode. The new one ended up being even better and my longest episode to date. So, who is Monty? Well, outside of being an incredible and genuine human being, he has built a massive multi-million dollar business and worked with many other companies to help grow their businesses. This has allowed him to take the entire year off to spend time with his kids and launch a new project focused on helping and guiding young people in business. This is called Watch Well, and I highly, highly recommend you all check it out. If you enjoy this episode, or if you like Monty at all, you can book in to have a chat with him or even grab a coffee for free. For free. He will grab a coffee with you for free. Monty is one of the most connected people I've ever met, so I would definitely take out this offer. This episode is jam-packed with advice and conversations focused on young people. We cover so much and time just seems to fly. As per usual, DM me and DM Monty if you enjoy this episode. Please leave a rating on Spotify. They just open up podcasts to ratings so you can rate like a 5-star, 4 stars, whatever is real to you. So if you enjoy the show, it only takes 10 seconds to leave a rating or review and it would mean the world to me. And of course, head on over to www.watchwell.com.au. That's www.watchwell.com.au to get in contact with Monty or find out more about what he's doing. All the links will be in the description below. Now, over to Monty.
Monty.
All right. Yeah. Byron.
Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you.
This is our second take. The first take, we had a chainsaw in the background. It was a great interview, but it just bothered me too much. It was just this buzzing noise throughout the whole thing. I know you didn't notice it because you were too in the zone talking, but we decided to do another one and we're a bit more prepared this time. This is going to be our first episode of 2022. You wanted to talk about 2022, starting fresh. We're sharing your story. So going into your story, I'd love to just know the whole story, but starting from when you finished high school. When you finished high school, what did you do and how did that lead you to where you are today?
When I finished high school, 1996, I decided I needed a bit of time. Mm. Fortunately, I got the grades to get me into university. I applied, was accepted, but I wasn't ready to go. Mm. So I took a gap year. And in the gap year, I went around Europe. I decided to go to the States. I got work. It's my first self-employment was at 18. I was a French polisher, self-taught. I earned money. Every single dime I spent, every pence, every pound, every cent, I spent.
On experiences?
I had nothing. Yeah, memories, some foggier than others. But I got experiences and they equaled. Mm. Learnings on how to connect to people.
I mean, you know my opinion on gap years. This is why I started with this whole program. You know, I'm a huge, huge advocate, and I think that's such a great example. It's like you're going to remember that for the rest of your life. That 1 year you took off. You know, I'm sure you still talk about it. I'm sure you learn a lot from it. And that's why I think it's, you know, when you didn't know what you're doing at 18, you mentioned it. You didn't know what you're doing. I'll just go ahead, take some time off. You know, earn some money, go travel, spend all the money.
Yeah, I got accepted to a degree that wasn't bothered about. All I did it for was for the bit of paper. Mm. Needed this for my father. Mm. He thought it was important, and I I abided by his rules in the house. And yet it was financially beneficial for me to not work, to stay at home, rent free, grant, loan. Smart decision for me. And I worked. So I probably was richer then, or I had more financial freedom than I do now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So happy days.
Yeah.
But and to be honest, going to university after the gap year, I was seen as a mature student because of the years experience I'd had overseas, self-employed, you know, the connections I'd made. I was one of the older students by a year.
Yeah.
But I was classed as a mature student, which was my grades didn't need to be as high. That it was such, it was like having just increased my HSCs or my A levels at the time. What you do here, I'm, you know, my kids are only going to go into it shortly, but I benefited so much from one gap year. One 12-month period had set me up for the rest of my life, unbeknownst to me. Didn't plan on what was going to happen. I just followed my gut. I went with it, and I had no expectations. I just knew I had to do it.
Yeah, took the risk.
Took a risk.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, again, I didn't know you took a gap year. I feel like people are like, oh, Byron, you find people who are just going to support your beliefs. It's like, I guess, but like also, I don't know. I didn't know you took a gap year. I didn't know that. And in another episode I just did recently, he took a gap year and we spoke about how much that benefited him as well. Like, I've never met someone who regrets taking a year off.
No.
I meet a lot of people who regret jumping straight into work, a career, university, whatever it is, at fresh, you know, freshly 18.
Well, it's perspective, isn't it? You feel like it's that FOMO.
Yeah, it is.
You feel like you're going to miss out. So if you go to school, well, you've missed some fun. Well, university is fun, depending on what you do and how you see it.
If you go to all the parties, join the clubs, society.
I had a ball at university. I met great people that I still connect with today. It was a wonderful experience, but I went into it in a different way than if I'd have gone straight in after school. But that journey I took, the people that I went to school to uni with hadn't taken it. They listened to my stories. I encouraged them to do the same thing. And some of them stopped and took the year out in between the degree. There's
good
options.
On. Good on them. Yeah.
You don't need, if you don't ask and you don't show what you want to do and tell people, then what do they know? How do they know to help you?
And just defer for a year.
Yeah, they want you to succeed.
Yeah.
They want you to get the best possible grades. The better the grades you get, the more successful you are, then the light shines on the university. And so they will encourage you to do what's best for you to help you succeed. And that's you have to open that box up. You have to be brave enough to ask the questions, to be willing to take a risk for someone to say, no, you can't do that, or you shouldn't do that. If you do that, you're going to fail. Well, okay.
Right. Then you fail.
Let me have a crack.
Yeah.
So you do have to have some courage in times of the fog. It's, how do you see through it?
I talk about it all the time, but it's the comfort zone, right?
Yeah.
University's comfortable. It's, you know, but in order for you to travel, go to Europe, go to a different country, you've got to leave your comfort zone. You've got to figure out how you're going to make money, how you're going to make friends, how you're going to do all this stuff. I don't know.
It's hard.
It's hard. Figure it out. The great thing about traveling, and you grew up in Scotland, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the great thing about Australia traveling is you're so far away from it. You leave Australia, you go to Europe, that's a 20-hour flight. Your parents are asleep. You're on your own. You call them in the middle of the day asking for help. No, it's 3 a.m. And it's like you're on your own. You're miles and miles. You're other side of the world. You've got to level up. The only option is for you to push through. And I think that's great.
It's I think the older I got, what I started to realize was, I had – my comfort zone was a certain way. I felt safe with my parents. I felt safe where we were. My dad was financially stable. I didn't really have any major problems. But then I had an unfortunate event. You know, my mum in a car accident. It was the most traumatic experience I had, and that was at 20. It's one of those pivotal moments where you can go one way or the other. And one way is a slippery slope. Now, that was tempting. It would have been easy to go that way. Bail out. It's too hard. Why is life so cruel?
Yeah.
you know, and ask those questions from a negative perspective. Well,
victim.
I saw myself as a winner, albeit, and I felt bad. There were times where I felt sincerely ungrateful for feeling that way. Mm. But I had to remind myself all the time, what would she want me to do? What would she want me to become? And it was that drive, it was that subconscious or conscious feelings that she gave me in that 20 years. And that's what powered me on.
Would she want this to cripple you and ruin the rest of your life? Of course not.
It was an accident.
Yeah.
It wasn't done on purpose.
No, of course.
It was one of those unfortunate events in life. And life has given me a series of them. That was just a spotlight moment where I look back continually. Every day I'll reflect on that moment and to some degree, somehow. And that's what I learned from that, going back to comfort zones, was I know how to step into someone else's. So I was in mine, but I knew to find people that I felt safe with, that I trusted, I connected with, and they invited me in to their comfort zone. So all of a sudden, my comfort zone has just expanded. So all it is about expanding my zone, my sphere of influence, my comfort zone became bigger.
Doing that by meeting quality people.
That's right. And theirs became bigger because I could invite them into mine. And just like we were chatting about before, you need to be able to open up.
Mm. That was something, we were just saying off camera, like how important vulnerability is. And it's a big message, especially for men, women as well, but men struggle with it more, I think, because we perceive vulnerability as a weakness. The men in the movies, the only time they cry is at funerals or if someone usually dies. Typically, it's really the only times I cry. And so I guess that conditions you to believe that, oh, that's the only times I'm allowed to cry. And you shouldn't. And they're the men that we admire to be, especially as a young boy. Superheroes, even James Bond. I love James Bond, but he doesn't show too much emotion. And I wanted to be like James Bond, but it's like, no, you know, he's emotionally cut off because of the trauma he's been through. And I think, you know, that's such an important message that vulnerability is a strength or courageous, as you said, not a weakness.
Well, it was our mutual friend, Nick, who really explained it to me.
Mm.
Until 2 months ago, I really got on the bandwagon of vulnerability is a positive emotion. And it is, to a degree. And it's a great way to explain how to open yourself up.
Mm.
But what I heard was how brave you had to be to do it. How brave you have to be to cry in front of others at a funeral, at a wedding, when something's really happy, really sad. Is it a manly thing to do to cry? Well, it's a human thing to do.
Mm.
We need to express emotion. And the more emotions you're able to express, the stronger you are, courageous you are.
You know, you mentioned before, it would have been easy for you to let the thing that happened with your mum consume you.
Yeah.
It would have been easy. It takes strength to, you know, build yourself up out of it. It's the same with vulnerability. It's actually easy to just keep it bottled up. That's easy. I'll just keep it bottled up. I won't tell anyone. I'll keep it in. That's easy. We think that's strong. No, strong is actually sharing. I mentioned to you again off camera, my roommate, literally right here, we were having dinner in this exact spot. And I just opened up about something that happened to me. And for 10 minutes while we're eating dinner, we were just chatting. And in my head, I was like, should I tell him? Should I tell him this? Should I? Then I told him, finished dinner, got some red. And honestly, 3 hours, we spoke about stuff, what it was like to be a man, what you know, all this different stuff. And it got really deep. Had nothing to do with the first conversation originally. Because it just, once I got vulnerable, then he got vulnerable, then I got more. And it just this phenomenal conversation. And it's like, this is, you know, if you haven't had those conversations, you're not sure what you're missing out on. But that's real connected.
And you've got to be prepared to be there for someone. And if you have that time, if you give your time, which is, again, what everyone talks about, it's a gift.
Mm.
Time is finite. We only have so much of it. So what you give to someone else is a gift. And for them to appreciate what you do and for them to be willing to give something back when you need it, it's building those connections. So you didn't just build it with your roommate or your housemate. You built it with his network as well, because he's going to go and tell people how meaningful that conversation is. And it came from a genuine emotion from you.
And also it's nice to have someone to talk to about it. And look, you know, you've got to read the room. You've got to know who you're talking to. You can't just drop something on someone who's a bit random. But it's like And that's where it's like, would you have these conversations with your friends? There's a lot of friends I might not have this conversation with because I'm not that close with them. And so if you don't feel comfortable having this conversation with any of your friends, I would say, you know, have a look at your circle. Are these the people you really want to be with?
Yeah.
It's a tough reality. But if you're not, you know, if you're not talking about what's going on in your relationships or you're feeling, and it doesn't have to be all the time, but if you're feeling down and you're feeling crap and you need help, do you feel safe enough to go talk to your friends? If the answer is no, I'd really have to think about who you're hanging out with.
Oh, for sure. It's the most important lesson I teach my kids.
Mm.
Now, maybe I'm doing something wrong or people would say, nah, you can't go that way, but I'm not really pushing academic side of things. Mm. You can learn at any point, and they're learning a lot every day. They step outside the door to go to school, to hang out with their mates, to start meeting girls or boys. I've got a boy and a girl, so I've got emotion puberty coming and it is full on, you know.
Most
of your audience, I've no doubt, have just come out with that.
Yeah.
And if 18, 19, 20, 21, it's tough times.
Mm.
We've had a crazy couple of years. And some of these guys might not have been outside the house for 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, I just told you I had my big boat party last night. A lot of fresh 18-year-olds who literally a week ago finished HSC. One girl last night was doing an exam on the phone when I rocked up.
Are you kidding?
She was like, when we're waiting for the boat, she's like, I'm just finishing an exam. I'm like, what? What do you mean? But they've just finished. And I'm like, this is because of COVID. They've been 18 for 6 months, but they haven't been able to go out. And I was like, this is the first time they've like gone out. And that, you know, I mentioned to you, I think when only now am I seeing the real implications of COVID on young people in Australia, because now we're out of COVID and we're kind of going back. A lot of people are struggling mentally because that lack of social connections.
Yeah. What was it? Nick was saying it's people now and including my kids, especially my son, I see it's socially awkward.
Mm.
You know, it's a tough time. He spent his time communicating through the PlayStation.
Yeah.
They get their headsets on.
That's actually better than most, I would say, because at least they're talking.
They're talking, but it took him to the second lockdown to do it.
I think what's worse is the PlayStation's great actually because you're talking, you're having fun, your guards are down. It's worse when you're just texting.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
That's the worst because there's no tone of voice, there's no body language, it's just words.
You don't know if they're angry, if they're...
Are they sarcastic? Are they making a joke? Yeah. Oh, should I add an emoji here?
Oh, I can't do it. It drives me insane because I want to try and communicate an emotion.
Yeah.
So I use emojis.
Yeah.
Happy, sad.
Yeah.
Strong, you know.
Emojis, they help.
Thank you is probably the one I use the most.
Yeah. Oh, the two hands.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it probably globally it's recognized as thanks or a prayer. I'm thinking of you, you know. It's my favorite emoji.
Well, you know, I like to audio message quite a bit, especially like on the iMessage. I'll just like bang audio. It's just a lot easier. Whenever people message me, typically I usually try audio respond. I'm just like, hey, thanks so much for messaging. It's quicker for me. I can get across how excited I am. I can be like, hey, thanks so much. Get across my energy. It's just better. And look, I still text a lot, but the point I want to bring this up is for people who are listening at 18, 19, whatever age, this is, if you're wondering, man, why don't I connect with people? Why am I feeling a bit socially awkward? Because you've just spent 2 years locked in. Your whole life you've been on texting. It's not your fault.
It's okay.
There's nothing wrong with you. This is the world that we're growing up with, and it's very difficult to navigate.
Yeah, it's tough for anyone. Mm. So it's all a mindset.
Mm.
It's all about, I think, trust is a big thing. You got to trust yourself, and you got to have people around you that you trust, and to expand that trust. Then you build yourself some security, you build yourself a support network. And in business, it's imperative because every bit of time you spend is to achieve success. And success is measured in dollars. You know, the more time you put into something and the less, and if you're not making money, it's seen as a failure.
Mm.
So instantly, the pressure of success or failure, most people are deterred to get involved in the first place. They don't want to take the risk.
That's it.
And they take the job, like you said, in the city or whatever that they don't.
I was telling you before, yeah, Fabio, one of the most recent episodes, he says, he's like, when I was young, I wanted to be a manager. He's like, I don't know why. It's just what the world told me because I viewed them as successful. So got a, you know, got a business degree. I was working 60th floor, Sydney CBD. I was smart. I good, you know, I was making lots of money. I had these people around me. Everything was telling me I was a success and I was happy, but I was hating my life. And now he's a drone pilot. You know drones?
Yeah, yeah.
He's a FPV, so he uses the goggles. So he flies a Red Bull and GoPro. He's just moved to Adelaide to work on a new project. Like his whole life, because of COVID, here's the funny part we were talking about. The only reason he got out of it was because COVID ripped him out. He got fired.
Oh, okay.
Best thing that happened to him.
Well, and you know what? One of the best things that happened to him is he took the experience. Mm. He stuck it out. Mm. He said he wanted to be a manager. He did the degree. He became a manager. So he learned to trust himself. If he wanted to do something, he knew he could do it.
Well, that's right.
And that is a gift.
And the whole in hindsight thing, he's like, look, I mean, do I wish it didn't happen? I would have wished I got into drones earlier, but now I've got the experience to recognize and appreciate the position I'm in now because I'm happy and I'm living the life I want to live. So, you know, there's no point in regretting making mistakes, but yeah, you're right. And he was a good student. He got a Dean scholarship and everything. So, but it's a classic example. And because you were saying even before that your story about the stickers.
Oh, yes.
The half a million. Like I wanted to tell a story on the podcast as well, just how you landed this big deal and how, you know, it's not through how good you were, but through the relationships you've built.
Yeah, this was with Sydney Council. It was, through COVID, we had the 1.5 meter distance. Everyone had to space themselves out. So Sydney Council decided that they wanted to help some of the restaurants and the cafes that were crippled. So they put the barriers out in the road to try and give them that little bit extra space, al fresco space. Mm. Just plain, pretty ugly concrete barriers, the crash barriers that you see on the side of the road. Mm. Nothing special. Mm. So what they wanted to do was they wanted to pretty it up. And then they put a shout out to signage companies if they wanted to price putting the stickers on these barriers. Well, the first thing they did was call me and asked me what product, how long, when could you do it, you know, what all the parameters of delivering this sort of project. Now, they basically said, this is not a guarantee of getting the job. Just because we ask you this, it's because we trust you. Mm. That's great. That's enough for me.
Yeah.
It's a massive compliment. I'd been working for a long time with them. I wrap scaffold. I wrap buildings when they're under construction. So they knew my credentials. They know what my attention to detail is, and I'm trusted. Mm. So that was a huge message to me.
But notice how you didn't say, I'm the best sticker out there. You didn't even mention your product or your quality. It was all trust, relationships, and like, you know, that networking, that connection there, because that's the most important thing.
Oh, 100%. Well, it wasn't until they said, here's the tender. If you need any help filling it in, great, but we can't give you advice. We can't tell you what the other people's prices are. You're on your own. Mm. So I said, no problem. Well, I'd already geared them. They knew what to expect. So to be honest, my presentation was tailored exactly to what needed to be done. And the others, maybe I did have a little bit of a head start because they just had to price something. Yeah, it's concrete barriers. What's going to use? But we knew weather. We knew how difficult it was going to be. It had to be done at night outside of the traffic areas. I mean, around here, and you're over here in Surrey Hills, sort of Woolloomooloo, there's not any space on those roads to plant a truck and drop off these big concrete barriers. It needed traffic control. There was a huge amount of logistics went into these operations. So they trusted that I was going to be able to do it, even though the other guys probably could do exactly the same job.
Yeah.
Like you said, we're not the only people who do stickering.
Yeah. And that's the whole KPI, which is key person of influence. It's like, you know, would you rather have a doctor who's a doctor, or would you rather have a doctor who puts out videos online and you've been following him for 6 months and you've been learning about him and you admire him. He's written a book. So you've read his book on all this stuff. Who would you rather work with? The doctor who's done all that stuff. They're both qualified. They're both equally talented, but you're more, just subconsciously or consciously, you're more likely to go after that person. Same with you here. Because you build a relationship, they know the trust, that's all that matters. And that's not just a business thing. That's a friendship thing. That's a life thing. If you can build good quality relationships and have people trust you, because most people suck, I'll be real. Most people let you down, in my experience. Yeah. So when I meet people who don't let me down, which is a group of people I hang out with now, hang on to them. And we bounce off each other.
People overcommit.
They all came to my boat party last night. They're all volunteering to help out with the program. Like, that means so much to me. It takes a lot of the pressure off me. And it means it's not just me running it. They had a whole team of all my friends are here. Everyone got to meet them and everything. And I know they're all going to do a great job.
And make them feel good.
And if anything I ask, I'll help them, of course. There's no money exchange here. It's just relationships, which is the same as what you're saying. But then as a result, you got a massive amount of money.
Well, my agenda was gratitude. I thanked them. Mm. I liked being the consultant role, which is where I sit now. But really, the job was $60,000. It's not a big job for my business. But it was a kudos job. It was a great job to get tendered for the Sydney Council and to be offered it. I knew that if I delivered this well, then I'll be considered and invited to tender on
bigger
the next jobs.
Yeah.
Yeah, bigger projects. You always hope that things are going to get bigger, you can make more money, and it lifts your profile up. Mm. Well, that particular job went from being a $60,000 contract or $65,000 to $460,000. Mm. The project was so successful, the feedback was so positive that they said, we just want to do this more. Mm. We need to open this up for longer. We want more people to do it, and we want people to see the color, the vibrancy, that we survived, that we're going to battle through this and bring on 2022.
And that, you know, I love that story. Hopefully people identify the lessons there, but it's like, if you have good connections, you do a good service, look what could happen. You can go from a $60,000 job to almost $500,000. And it's just so important. And again, this doesn't just apply in business, obviously massive in business, but in life as well. It's kind of what we've been talking about for the past 20 minutes. Relationships has been the main thing.
Well, I learned that in life and I now apply it in business.
Yes.
So my ability to learn and listen and hear and give back where I can and share my experiences, then I learned that. I absorbed those experiences and I have the memories that I now can apply in a business perspective. Mm. I'm intuitive in business. I'm intuitive with people. I know the people I want to work with. I know the ones I want to avoid, you know, which there are a lot. Mm. There's a lot of people out there, like you said, that suck.
Most people, in my experience, most people let you down. Most. And so, I mean, this is a great lesson for anyone listening. Don't be someone who lets you down. And it also means there's not much competition out there. Honestly, once you realize how much most people just don't do what they're asked and they do the bare minimum, if you go ahead, you do more than is asked of you and you're hungry and you're excited and you're young, oh my God, the world's your oyster. People want to help young people. If someone young comes to you and, you know, wants to learn from you, you're going to do everything you can. You know, I had a guy come on the podcast and he said at 14 years old, he was getting coffees with people. Imagine a 14-year-old reach out to you. You can't say, I'd never say no. 14? Now, obviously, you're probably not 14 if you're listening to this, but even 18, 19, man, I'm 23 now. I've missed the boat. You know, 23, you're well and truly an adult. People still want to meet you, but it's not the same as like a 16-year-old reaching out to you. So that's where I'm like, take advantage of that.
Yeah, they see you driving the boat now.
Yeah.
You're the leader of your pack. You know, and for that to have people actually following you is probably, it's like saying it's a compliment. Mm. It's gratitude. Mm. And you get to give that back and you feed back to your crew is positivity. Is I'm grateful for you guys. And whatever I can do, I'll do. But a lot of those people, they've all had different journeys. They've had different experiences. And if you're willing to sit with them, then they're going to tell you the dark stories. They're going to tell you the things that they remember the most, that scared them the most. And most probably, they're the things that you learn the most from.
Absolutely.
They make you stronger.
Well, that's because we want to talk about the GFC, right? Which is kind of that whole lesson. So yeah. Obviously, well, I mean, to clarify, we've kind of mentioned it. You've got a signage company.
Yep.
So you started in 2006.
We've got two.
Two companies?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you started both in 2006?
Nope.
Okay.
We started the first one, the main one was 2006.
Yeah. So 2 years before 2008, which is when the GFC hit, the global financial crisis.
Yeah, that was crazy.
Yeah. So, because I was like, 8 years, not 9 years old, 10 years old, probably living in a country town in New Zealand. Didn't even know it existed. So I've watched obviously movies on it, some documentaries and stuff, but I never went through it. But you mentioned as a fresh business, you guys kind of had to decide, we either give up or we grind and push through it.
Well, before we even started, people were saying, it's too hard. You can't do it. It's the printing industry or signage industry. It's saturated market. You're never going to manage it. Mm. But we said, you know what? We've got something different. We think we've got a different business model and we're going to have a crack. Mm. So we did it. And we built some good connections. We started. We would drive anywhere just to sell a banner on a fence. Just everyone we supplied was a win. Mm. But then what we started to happen is it took us 6 months, 12 months to really get ourselves a bit of traction. We weren't making money, but we were staying alive. We were making enough money to pay a finance person, someone to come look after our books. We didn't pay ourselves. Mm. We all had our own jobs still, but at nights we would do business plans. We would do graphics. We would do operations. We would organize stuff. Fantastic. But what you've got was in 2007, 2008, the GFC. Now, we'd never experienced this before. We didn't know what it was. I think it's likened to the Great Depression, which I wasn't around for. So I don't know what it was like either. I'm a bit like yourself. I'd be as well being in a little country town in New Zealand at the Great Depression. But now I'm in it. Mm. My business is directly in line. I'm construction. People are falling down everywhere. Mm. The impact on society from an economic perspective was astronomical.
Yeah.
And there's plenty of books. There's plenty of documentaries that you can go and read about this, movies done on it. So now what we got, a choice. Everyone said you're not going to fail. Now they said you're really going to fail.
Yeah. See, we told you. That's it.
What are you doing?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? Everyone give up. We're not. We kept on going. Why? It's because we were so hungry to make this work that we refused to see failure at that point. It was not an option for us.
Yeah, well, one of the things we say, we show a video to empower you. It's a program I run. We show a lot of movie clips throughout it. One of the very first things we show is from Apollo 13. You seen that movie? So basically it's based on the real story. An incident happened in space with astronauts. The team on the ground has to figure out how to land a spaceship with like 50 liters of fuel. Something insane. Impossible.
Impossible.
Impossible, supposedly.
Yes.
And so, you know, in the movie, they're talking, they're bouncing ideas, and he finishes by saying, failure is not an option. It's such a good thing. When failure isn't an option, you just get it done. If you've got an easy exit, lots of people will take it. The other story, and I've said it so many times, Jesse, forgot his last name again, but Jesse, Brent, my mentor, interviewed him for his book. He was the youngest person to sail around Australia at the time, 17 years old.
Oh, wow.
1999. He sailed at 17 years old. He started sailing at like 13. So he just got into it, sailed around the world solo, youngest person to do it. When he got interviewed, how come you were able to succeed? And he said, you know, I gave up lots of times. The problem was when I gave up, there was no land for 2 weeks. So I'd start heading back to land, but then the sun would come out. The dolphins would start jumping. Suddenly I was feeling good again. I'm like, all right, I'm back on this. The reason I was able to succeed is because I had no exits. And I think a good way to succeed in life is give yourself no exits, exactly as you say. If you consider failure is not an option, then you make it happen.
Well, challenges happen daily. Mm. It's a challenge for some people just to get out of bed.
Yeah.
I'm going to call in sick. There's challenges every day, some bigger than others. Mm. My challenges I might think are worse or more difficult to overcome than yours. Everyone sees their challenges as the most difficult. Oh, life's too hard. What am I going to do? I hate my job. Can't be arsed getting on the bus. It's raining. You know, I don't like my boss or my colleagues, a shitbag, whatever. Mm. There's so many things that could get in your way or to bring you down. See an exit. Do I leave work? Do I stay in bed? Well, call in sick. You get lots of opportunities to bail out. Mm. But the way I see it is that life's a cycle. So I follow stocks, I do crypto, you know, so I work on a cycle. I know there's good times to buy and there's good times to sell. Mm. Businesses knowing when to get in and know when to get out. But if you don't give yourself an exit and you just see yourself on this wave, then you know the learnings are coming. Mm. The next trough is going to be where I learn today.
You're never going to get out on the first one.
Oh.
Unless it's just luck.
But if that comes up again, I already have the script. I know what I'm going to do. And if someone else comes to me and says, I've got this problem, it's okay.
This had that. You, the way you frame it, like it's like, for you, I dipped, I failed. No, because now the next dip, I know what to do. And that's the thing. It's like, you didn't fail. You just learned. And now you've got that experience to take it into the next thing. And again, this applies across anything in life, not just business.
What do people say about Bitcoin? Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys were probably just born in this coin. This crazy coin came out, and it's even got crypto is like from the scary movies.
Mm.
They named it something that was scary. For me, I was worried. I didn't buy in at a dollar. I mean, why am I going to waste my money?
Mm.
I'm better off going to buy a schooner at the pub.
Mm.
At least I'm going to connect and I'm going to speak to people. I ignored it. But then I started, the smarter I got and the more I realized the cycle, I now watched Bitcoin's trajectory was constantly climbing.
Mm.
It had bad days. And people said, it's going to die. It's going to fail. It's going to collapse. Don't put your money in. Well, people kept putting their money in.
Mm.
And as that climbed, we're seeing hundreds and hundreds of X increase. Millionaires, billionaires.
Billionaires, yeah.
From brave people who took their gut instinct is, why shouldn't I buy 50 of these? Oh, you bought 50 of these things and you held them to today, then life, you can bail out.
Mm.
You can live on that income for the rest of your life, no problem. These guys are hungry now. I follow guys on YouTube, crypto guys that would be your age.
Oh, heaps.
And I see them as experts. I trust what they say, or I go and research the things that they say. So I actually learn from you guys. Because I don't have that skill set. I don't
That's a cool thing. I think the age gap has never been less important now because of technology and information. Like, you can learn so much at such a young age on a very niche topic like crypto or whatever it is. Now, it doesn't make you an expert, but you can learn enough that you're putting, I invest. I don't really look into it. I just invest like a weekly amount and I kind of watch it here and there, but it's exciting.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it for the excitement because I enjoy the dips as much as I enjoy the highs. I know when it goes down, if I have some spare cash, I buy here. It doesn't matter if 2 months ago it was half the price. I see the dip and I know the probability is very high. It's going to go back up. My share portfolio, I've got one of them. I don't have a huge amount of money in it because it's boring. It doesn't do anything. So I shifted into a more exciting market. And that's as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, yeah.
You take risks.
Well, that's what we talk about. It's like everyone's got a different appetite. Some people love the safety of a share market, of an ETF. 10% return each year on average. That's great. You know, I'm big on a bit of both because you want to have that little bit of excitement. I know
you've got to have diversity
in your portfolio. But then there are people like you, or, you know, I've got a mate who's 19 and he put everything into like crazy coins. Sometimes I fail, sometimes I go crazy. And it's like, worst case scenario, I'm 19. It's not like I'm, you know, I have any responsibilities. I'm going to go all really hard now. So it depends on your appetite. And that's the whole thing about money and finance education. It's so subjective to how you want to approach it.
Well, I love what you just said there, because now I see things a little bit more different. Now I have family. Now I have responsibilities and mortgage bills. I'm the breadwinner in the house pretty much. Yeah, my partner works, but you still feel like you need to contribute as much as you can. And the risk of failure now doesn't just impact me. It impacts a lot more people around me, my staff, my family, my friends, because then all of a sudden I'm potentially a broken man for a while.
You know, at 19, you can afford to take those risks.
Do it.
Yeah. I use the exact example. I'm always like, do it now, because you're going to regret it when you're 35, you got your second kid on the way, you're 40 years old.
You won't do it?
No, you can't, because the risk is too high. And also you don't have time. You know, there's a whole wheel of life. When you're young, you've got time. No, when you're young, you got time and energy, but no money. When you're middle-aged, 35 to kind of like 50, maybe 60, you've got energy, money, but no time. Then when you're retired, you got time, money, but no energy.
And it's a tough cycle, isn't
it? Yeah, and so how do you figure out the mix and match?
Well, if you do it at 18, if you do it at your age, you learn a skill that many don't learn. So what I've got out of that is now I take calculated risk.
Mm.
So I look at what the reward is and what the risk is. And I sit there and go, you know what? I talk to my mentors. We've all got mentors. I talk to my friends and my family. Obviously, they're going to be a part of what the decision is, because ultimately they're going to take whatever the consequence is, positive, negative, they're going to benefit from it. Mm. So really it's about learning now, taking risk, and bringing it later down the line. So when you know you've got to make that tough decision, yay or nay, you know that you've taken the right one.
Mm.
Your group, your support network has pushed you, has encouraged you, and said it's going to be okay.
But you have to take calculated risks. Now, obviously everyone wants to take calculated risks, but when you're young, you don't really have to. And that's all beauty. You moving was probably not a calculated risk, going a gap year. It's like, I'll just see what happens. I'll go over there. I'll travel. You know, I'm a big fan of not planning traveling, like just going somewhere, having a good idea, obviously, not being irresponsible, but still planning, but not having a spreadsheet of everything you're going to do every day. Like, you're going to meet people. You're going to start. You might meet people, go camping for a week. You might go here. You might do this. And that's the best part of life. And that's something I've really missed out on because of COVID. And I think a lot of people are really wanting to do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I would love to have a conversation about COVID and like going into 2022, you know, what can we look forward to? I mean, depending on this new variant, life could be back to normal. I hope it's back to normal. But I'm just like, don't settle down after COVID. Like, you've just had 2 years of doing nothing. My advice, get a job, go travel, do what you wanted to do during COVID.
Go on an adventure.
Go on it. That's it.
Life's an adventure.
That's it. Go on an adventure.
If you see it as an excitement, you're here one time. This is it. Depending on your religious beliefs, sure. Then today is the best moment to make decisions.
Mm.
Because tomorrow is when you're going to get the benefit from it.
Mm.
Or you're going to get the learning. It might not go to plan. And seldom the plans, and that's why the danger of making a plan is because most time it doesn't go to plan.
Mm.
So if you make a plan and it doesn't go to plan, how do you actually
pivot?
Get back in? Oh, well, it's just stuffed up. It's just ruined my holiday.
Mm.
And well, it hasn't. It's just made your holiday.
It's such a good point. And this is, you know, my boat party was last night and yeah. I had so much on before it. I had this really weird course. I'll tell you about it after. And I was like stressed out. I was organizing by myself because I don't have a team yet. I was like, and then it was pouring rain, thundering storm. You met Annalise, she had taken her shoes off. We're walking through the rain. I'm like, man, is anyone going to show up? Every single person came, except for one. Everyone came. It cleared up, beautiful sunset. You know, the boat was perfect. Everything worked out. And in my life, and maybe this is a level of privilege, luck, whatever, everything just works out. It's like if you put out the message, sure, it might not be as you planned, but it works out. And I think that's a level of letting go.
It does. Luck, I think, is gambling. Mm. You get a bit of luck.
Mm. Everyone
black, gets red. You know, which one am I going to do? Put it on there, 50% chance I might be lucky. Well, you weren't lucky. Mm. You made a decision. You went for it. You booked the boat. You took a punt on your future. So to have that first boat cruise, it was your first one.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, yeah. First program.
I mean, how brave, you'd committed cash to it,
yeah.
Needed to make sure you're going to sell tickets, otherwise it's going to cost you a lot of money. Where am I going to get it from? Is that seen as a failure? You know, all of those thoughts walk into that boat in the rain,
yeah,
fearful of people turning up or not. Well, the sun came out.
Yeah,
it gifted you.
Literally.
Gratitude. Thank you for putting this on. Thank you for inviting these people for a night they'll never forget, because they also walked in the rain.
Mm. Yeah.
They also had that experience thinking, shit, is this worth it?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Absolutely. And let me clarify, this was rain, like as hard as it gets, like thundering down.
Yeah, it was bad.
Like we had to get the train and traffic was everywhere. And I was like, oh man, I was stressing. I know a lot of people were, but as you mentioned, like it couldn't have gone any better.
For everyone.
Yeah.
I'm from Aberdeen. It rains all the time. Mm. So I'm used to it. I like the rain here. See the storms. I'm excited by that. But in my business, a lot of my jobs are outdoor. Rain impacted me massively. Mm. Cost me money.
Mm.
But I enjoyed it. I just had to manage it. We moved things around. We moved indoor jobs forward and we pushed outdoor jobs backwards. I can't go on site anyway. No one is expecting you to go on site in a thunderstorm.
Mm.
I climb scaffolds. I use machines. I have rope access guys. They can't work in the rain or the wind.
Mm.
So we always have to find that window of opportunity to do those jobs, and we need to be quick. We need to cooperate with our clients, our suppliers, and really it's all about making those connections. It really is about building trust.
I think that's the point of this episode, connections. You know, it's benefited you so much, it's benefited me so much. It's hard to get across. It's hard for it to get across. Even Isabel, a girl who's kind of, she reached out to me a while ago and she started her own business. She's doing all this cool stuff now, a weapon. You know, she just started her business and she landed two huge clients that both offered her full-time positions. Where do they come from? Connections. Because she put herself out there. She offered to work for free for an Instagram page we run, blew us away. We then introduced her to some really cool people. Joe, a good friend of mine, he introduced her to Scott, who runs a portable monitor company. They offered her a full-time position in another company. And I was just like, yeah. And she's like, I now understand what you mean, Byron. She's been listening to me for ages, but now that she's experienced it, she's like, I finally understand what you mean by networking. Like, it's the most powerful thing.
Well, I mean, I did hospitality. So I always worked in hospitality. That's so that my customer service level was pretty high because you would work on tips.
Yeah.
The nicer you were, the more you got back.
Yeah.
So I had to give. Not everyone gave me a tip.
Yeah.
A lot of people just expected that that's what you should do in that role or that in that job. So what I got was I persisted. I kept doing it. I didn't give up. I would always say thank you. If I remembered their drink, I would have it on the bar before they got to the bar.
Mm.
Now, that was not something I expected a tip for. That was something I just hoped that they would say thank you. And they would recognize it as something that I would like to save them 2 seconds of time. When they get up there, they say thank you. I've saved them seconds
It's not even the saving. It's the, damn, this guy remembered me. He thinks about
me. You know
me.
What?
It's that. They didn't care about extra few seconds. That's good. But it's the feeling they get. Like even the cafe right there, this new kid started working here. I went in, I was getting coffee. He's like, how's your day, man? The bubbliest guy. I was like, this guy's awesome. And, you know, we talk about it a bit as well. It's like, do more than is asked of you in anything. I posted a video on this. We posted a video saying, do more than asked of you on everything. All the comments, I'm not going to work more than, I'm getting paid minimum wage. I'm not going to work more than that. Okay. That's your choice. But like, there's no benefit to doing that. There's only benefit to doing more than is asked of you. Nothing might happen. You might do all this and never get a tip. But maybe people recognize you as someone who's really good and then they get you a better paying job. Who knows what's going to happen? And that's the whole point of being curious and open-minded and just being passionate and doing more than is asked of you. I think that's such an important point.
Well, he's asking how you are. He's not waiting for you to see. He's openly put himself out there and said, how are you?
And it was his energy as well.
You might come back and say, I'm terrible today. Oh, what's up?
Yeah.
You're up. Let me get you a coffee. Yeah, it's on me today. And you just don't know what you're going to get back.
Yeah.
And those people, to be honest, are few and far between.
Oh, absolutely.
Those are the golden nuggets. Now that you've just told me, after this, I'll go and get a coffee and I'll look for him.
Oh, is he in? Yeah, you will though.
If he is or isn't.
You will identify him in 2 seconds he is in.
Well, the best thing is you've told me the story. Now you've impacted me. Now I'm going to go and... If I get a chance to communicate with him, I'm going to say my mate Byron told me about you.
Yeah.
He said you're one of these special people in the world that care.
And now we're telling a story to thousands of people listening to this podcast and nothing might happen. One person might be in hospitality who hears a story and goes, yeah, you know what? I could be nicer when I'm being served. I am well aware how horrible people are to hospitality workers. And, you know, that sucks. But this guy, you know, he brightened my day. You know, he's awesome. Now I've told you, you might meet him. And all he did was just be energetic and say hello.
Next time you go in, if I get a hold of him, he's going to say, wow.
Yeah.
You're his comfort zone, you've just brought him into it. So he now, every time you step in there, he sees you as a friend.
Mm.
He sees you as someone who gets him.
And I said, like, when I met him, I was like, because I hadn't seen him before. I was just like, hey, he's like, what are you doing tonight? I was like, I'm planning a boat party. He's like, oh, so cool. Is that a program? I was like, yeah, the program's like this. He's like, that's awesome, man. Good on you. And then he's like, I was like, oh, did you just get a job here? He's like, yeah, 3 days ago. I was like, oh, dude, we just moved next door. So maybe I'll meet up with him. I don't know.
He might be on your next boat cruise.
Honestly, he probably will. We're running meetups out of this place all the time. I'm sure he'll come along to one. And it's, you know, how did you meet Byron? Oh, at a cafe. I meet a lot of people at cafes.
He's a great person to have on the boat cruise. You might actually go and invite him on. I would just like you to be here
yeah, yeah.
for that So his world has just exploded with opportunity.
And that's what I mean when I say Brent, my mentor, said this, every 2 weeks a life-changing opportunity comes across your door, whether you recognize it or not.
Yes.
Now, this doesn't mean it's a clear life-changing opportunity. You don't know what it is. A life-changing opportunity could be meeting one person. A life-changing opportunity could be that guy being nice to me. And then 6 months later, now he's involved with a pro. I don't know. I'm making stuff up. But a life-changing opportunity for me, the biggest one, was when I messaged my friend Nat. I said, do you want to grab coffee? And she said, yeah. And then a day before, she said, do you mind if I bring some friends? She brought along Dale, who's now my roommate, my best mate. Him and Dale got met Annalise. You met Annalise.
Yep.
That they're dating. Annalise met through my podcast. Just this web of opportunities that have happened. And that was a life-changing opportunity just by me saying, do you want to grab coffee? And just by Nat saying yes. And it's like, you'll never think of that as an opportunity. But that's how you've got to view the world. You never know what's going to happen. And nothing may have happened. It may have been coffee. We said hello. Nothing happened. But I still had a good time.
Well, I'd never heard that analogy before. But a web, people stick to it. Yep. Flies stick to it.
Yeah. That is a good analogy.
So rather than eating it, you bring it in. You nurture it. It becomes a part of your network. And the web is a network.
It's sticky. So,
you want to be sticky.
It is sticky. Like our friends, man, it's sticky. Once you get in, it's very sticky. We run events all the time. People are meeting up. We have opportunities. You post a video in the group chat. How can I improve this? You could do this, this, this. And that all came from that one message.
That's so cool. Well, we've just spent 5 minutes talking about the message. We've created a message about the message.
And
that's...
I don't know if this sounds stupid or not. I think this is cool. I love this stuff. This is the whole 1,000 doors analogy. Yeah. My mate Joe came up with this metaphor. It's basically behind one door could be a potential 1,000, and you never know. And if you're in a room with 3 doors, aka 3 opportunities, the room's comfortable. It's safe. You know where you can see. You don't know what lies behind the doors. But start opening doors because behind one door could be 1,000. And so when I asked Nat to grab a coffee, she said yes. It wasn't uncomfortable. I've already met her. You know, we were good friends, sort of. And then behind that was 1,000 opportunities. Probably more, probably 10,000 long term through all the connections and everything. And I think that's a cool way to live life, and I think it's the best way to live life.
You've taken the opportunity, and I guess it's a manifestation.
Yeah.
Of the way I see it, I manifest my dreams. Mm. So my dream transforms all the time. But at the end of that is comfortable life, happy kids, my partner and I sitting on a rocking chair.
Yeah.
Would love to be next to the beach. It's a simple life. Don't see the big house behind me. I'm not even looking at the house. Mm. I'm looking forward at my kids running around with their kids.
Yeah.
So my grandkids, this is what I see in my head every day. Mm. So that's what keeps me moving along. And it's the manifestation of my dream that I kept on going. My mother taught me, and she just kept on persisting with messages. Mm. Never really raised her voice. I never got hit or smacked or whatever. There was none of that in my house. It was to sit down and more be disappointed. Why did you make that decision? Do you understand the consequence? If I did it again, she did it again.
It's a very mature way of dealing with children, I think.
It's persistence. She just persisted and believed that that message was going to my head and would make me a better person. Mm. She was right.
Yeah.
I learned a lot.
I think the greatest privilege I have is good parents. I think it's the greatest privilege anyone can have is good quality parents. I think it sets you up for life like nothing else ever could. You know, they didn't give me money, but they gave me everything else.
Well, your parents are there to guide you. And I know, I talk in schools, Western Sydney, some kids out there have got a real challenge on their hands.
A lot of kids do.
As does everyone.
Yeah.
So it doesn't, rich, poor, you know, religion, whatever you are, there are difficult days
everyone
and difficult choices to make. So you don't always get that support. We're lucky. We had great parents, and we learned a lot from them. Mm. But it's really important, and I go and talk in the schools to say, okay, from that side of it, maybe you didn't get the ace. But you build your group. The most important thing you can do, even for my kids, when they walk out the door and independent young adults, all I care about is their peer group.
Yeah.
All I care about is a network.
Yeah.
Because people make decisions in life that may not work out, and it may end up being not the best decision. But if you've got someone there who's willing to pick you up, then it's going to be okay. You live to fight another day. You live to learn. And that's what I do in my life now is I just keep manifesting my dream. And with that, I get to take other people with me.
And I think what you're saying about, you know, the most important thing you want for your kids is a good peer group is very powerful. But also, you know, as great as a good peer group can be, a negative peer group can be the opposite. You got people who are, you know, into drugs and going out every night, whatever it is. You're probably going to start doing that as well. Of course, you know, we're very influenced by people around us. You are the total income of the five people around you. If there's five millionaires that are your best friends, you've got a high chance of being the sixth. If there's five dickheads around you, you're probably going to be the sixth dickhead. And so figuring out that, I think not only is it important to get good, but make sure you're not a bad one.
Yeah.
You know, I think you've got your really good peer groups, you've got really bad ones, and the most common ones are just kind of sitting in there where they're not great, but they're not bad, and you just kind of float in there. And I think that's where a lot of people sit. You know, where I grew up in, you know, Sutherland Shire.
Yes.
You know, it's called the Shire Bubble.
Yeah.
It's a bubble. It is a bubble. It's this beautiful place, phenomenal place to live. Everything you need is there. But as a result, people never leave and they never get new friend groups. I know people who are like, you know, in the pushing late 20s, 30s, they're still friends with all their high school friends, which is cool. But it's like, man, I think you need to expand and meet other people. And look, if they're happy, that's great. But in my opinion, you want to meet as many diverse people as you can because that's where it gets interesting.
Well, this pandemic has, like we said, it's got everyone. Mm. So now everyone's used to staying at home.
Yeah.
Now I hope that everyone feels that little bit braver when it does open up, whilst there's people who are reluctant and don't know who to believe. And we've get mixed messages from our leaders, from the community, elders. No one really knows what's going on. Mm. So now when you've got those bubbles, you hope the world has been in a bubble.
Mm.
When it pops, everyone now wants to meet everyone. You're more excited. Oh, I'm going to go out the Shire. I've met someone online from the Northern Beaches or from Western Sydney. I'm going to go and see them.
I'm going to move countries.
I'm going traveling. I've got to get out of here.
Yeah. Oh, man, get out. Everyone's got to go travel. And look, I'm saying is we still can't do it in Australia. I think I've got a few people have left, but even then with this new variant, it's thrown a whole nother spanner in the works as of what we're filming right now, which is mid-December 2021. But man, as soon as you can, get out. I want to travel next year. I haven't traveled 2 years. I hope this is the longest I go my entire life without traveling.
Well, I got a call this morning. I have two businesses. I've got an office in Melbourne. And I got a call today. The guy in Melbourne is struggling. Mm. Mental health. He's been told his parents quite sick, doesn't want to do. We've got so much work. It's piling on and he's worried that he's going to make a mistake. So I got a call from my business partner. And whilst I'm not there day to day, he's asked me to go down. Would I be willing to support him?
Of course.
But this guy needs help.
And do you know why? Because he was vulnerable. The first step was asking for help. That's always the hardest step.
So, and he's like you. He's a bit older than me. So I think what we built was a culture where you can be vulnerable.
Yeah.
And we create that. And unbeknown to me is I think we've actually created a group of brave young people that are willing to take risk because they know they're supported. They know if they're empowered to make decisions, most of the time with the right network and the right people around, you feel confident about your decision.
Mm.
And you, I'm going to do this. And if it doesn't quite work out to plan, you become a problem solver. You pull on the resources and you say, I need some help here. I'm a bit struggling. Can I rely on you to do this? Of course you can. Because you know when you need it, he's there.
Yeah, and that's what I love about life. When you've got good people around you, it's just, it's not transactional. It's not, hey, can you come and help me out? Can you come help me out? Yeah, of course, because I know that you'll help me out in the future and I'll help you, whatever it is.
There's people in my life. It goes around.
There's people in my life. One of them came last night where I'm like, mate, you could ask me anything and I'd do it for you just because you've connected me with so many people. My life has changed through you and all you did was connect me with a few people and open a few doors for me. There's nothing you could ask me that I wouldn't do. And I've got lots of people like that. And
And that's the person you are, mate.
I just hope I'm not beating a dead horse here on the podcast because I talk about this a lot, but it's, you know, the most important thing. I think if all you did in your 20s was spend your 20s finding cool people and building good relationships, you're ahead of the game.
Well, let's be honest. Life's a battle.
Yeah.
And to go into battle, the best warriors are the ones that are prepared, have got the right weapons, are ready, they're in the right position.
Romans would beat armies triple their size, quadruple their size. I've read some of the books. It's insane because they had the strategies, the tactics, they were bonded. Like, it's a good point. It's a really good point.
Be proactive.
Yeah.
Prepare your army.
Yeah.
Because the chances are, and a really great point, doesn't matter how big they are.
Yeah.
If they're not prepared to come up against you, you're going to take them out and you get to climb above them.
Mm.
And friends of mine and mentors say, you've got to be relevant in business.
Mm.
To succeed is to be relevant.
Mm.
It's to sit here and talk to you as an influencer, as someone you can trust, as someone who's going to help you, who's been there, who's scarred from decisions I've made that were maybe at the time weren't the right ones or didn't feel like the best ones or the right ones. But now, looking back, they're my biggest lessons. And these are the things I want to share with your audience is it's okay to go in, to get cut.
It's not okay. I think it's important.
It's important.
I think it's crucial because no one's doing it. Because we live in a world of instant gratification and we live in a world of comfort zones now. You don't have to talk. You don't have to confront someone. Just text them. Just give them a call. Oh, they didn't answer. I'll get to it later. No one's cutting their teeth. No one's getting those scars. And even like playing outside, you know, I see a lot of parents who don't let their kids do stuff. It's like, man, if my kids aren't breaking bones, I've done something wrong.
Yeah. let them climb in a tree.
Yeah.
And there are people that get, you know, worse injuries than others. And some are tragic.
Of course.
You know, but you can't stop kids from doing this
no.
because of an anomaly.
Mm.
You know, most people that climb up a tree get down safely.
You still drive, even though there's crashes every day.
But that's what happened with my mom,
yeah.
you know. So all I do now is I appreciate the vehicle I drive is a big piece of metal.
Mm.
And if I hit someone, it's going to hurt.
Mm.
So I appreciate that. And I have to be grateful and patient on the roads.
Mm.
And that's the same in my business. It's the same with my friends and family. So patience is part of being proactive and putting time and effort in now to make your plans.
Mm.
Being an entrepreneur, a successful entrepreneur, is to be proactive, be prepared, and be courageous to make those decisions. What you said about the doors, you have to trust that you're going to pick the right door for you today.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what's behind the door.
Or you might not. And it doesn't matter. Because the thing about doors is you're not going because you want to open doors. You're just curious. You just want to see what's behind that. And you might open one door and there's nothing there. You might go out to lunch. You might meet someone. Nothing comes from it. So lost an hour of your life. You got to meet someone. At least you opened it. Most people don't open doors. Most people just stay in the room.
Well, and what I found is a lot of people, oh my God, which door am I going to pick? I'm going to do, okay, I'll pick this one. Oh, that's not the door I wanted.
Mm.
I want to go back out the door.
Mm.
I want to go and do another one.
Mm.
So they regret the choice.
Yeah.
Which means the next time they get to open a door,
they're
totally confused. Don't do it and say, you know what?
Overthink.
I'm happy with where I am. Risk averse. I'm not going to open anymore. It doesn't matter if it's a dark room.
Yeah.
In fact, the more challenging, the darker, it's more adventurous.
I think get into as many dark rooms as you can while you're young.
But do it with people around you.
They can bring you on.
That have probably done it before.
Yeah. And that's the whole thing about mentors, right?
Empathy. And mentor should be someone with empathy who's sat in a dark room and can join you in it.
Mm.
And say, it's all right. I've brought my torch.
Mm.
Because I knew we were coming in. I knew the probability this was going to be a dark room. I'm your torch.
Well, that's the thing. You know, I saw something with therapists, right? They're like, why would I want to learn from a therapist who's been depressed? It's like, because they know what you're going through. If anything, it's better. They understand what you're going through. Yeah. You know, I don't want to be with a therapist who's got mental health problems, but, you know, they're professionals. They understand what you're going through. If anything, it's better. And that's why I'm so big on learning from people that are not, you know, you hear about, but you watch interviews with big CEOs in 75, 80. Yeah, it's cool. But for young people, there's such a disconnect. There's value in learning from people who are just a few steps ahead of you and know what those steps are.
Because, something simple,
yeah.
Snakes and ladders.
Yeah.
Now everyone wants to get the ladders because that's where it's going to get me to the top the quickest.
Mm.
Well, it's not always happens.
Sometimes
you have to get on the snake.
Yeah.
And you have to come back down to reality. It brings you back down, grounds you.
Not sometimes. There's always going to be snakes.
Yeah. Well,
like if you have a life with, the thing is, if you have a life with only ladders, and you're just going up and up, then you probably don't appreciate it. The snakes and the failures in life are not what make you appreciate the ups. We said it in the last episode that we've kind of canned. I spoke about the roller coaster. Like, once you accept that life is a roller coaster and there are going to be ups and downs, it becomes easier. You know you're doing great right now. You know soon you're going to be down. And there's no point trying to avoid it. It's just going to happen.
Always a way back up.
When I was last year from like August, I was on a high 6 months. Normally I was like, you know, 1 week I'd be here, two weeks I'd be down, high. 6 months straight, I was just crushing it. Then bang, COVID hit. And I just went straight back down. But then it was the best thing that ever happened to me because then I started TikTok and I started growing and then I went back up. And now it's still ups and downs. Absolutely. But as you said, and I remember this, you said on the last episode, you were like, but where do you get the highs in the roller coaster? It's on the way down.
On the way down. It's gut churning. Yeah, pooping yourself going, what's going to happen? Yeah. Am I going to fall off? Mm. Do I project myself out of the car? No. You've gone on. It's a calculated risk. You paid your money. You jumped on the roller coaster because you knew what was going to happen. Mm. And I'm going to go climb up and there's excitement and anticipation and the knot in your stomach. And then when you go down, it's done. Mm. Happens quickly.
Yeah.
And that's where then you start again. And then you go, I loved that. Or maybe I didn't like that so much. Maybe I want to try and avoid that. And I might give my money to something else. Mm. So I might prefer the waltzers or the dodgems. But you've learned what you do like and what you don't. But you know you're always going to get to the top. If you keep going, it doesn't matter. You will get there.
At least you gave it a shot.
You give it a shot.
If you've got two decisions, and Fabio said this on one episode. He's like, I'm the type of person, if I have two decisions, I just have to try it because otherwise I know I might regret it. And so like for him, he had a great life in Australia, but then he got accepted into uni back in Germany where he went. Yeah. And he's like, oh, I've got a great girlfriend. I live by the beach. My life's great. But he's like, but I'm just going to try this. He goes for 3 months. He hates it. Comes back to Australia.
Did he really?
Yeah.
No, it's a hard place to leave.
Mate, yeah, I fear it is. But I mean, he was like, but at least I tried it. I went and I tried it. And I think it depends on your personality, but I do think, again, you've got the freedom to do that while you're young. So take advantage of it.
Yeah, and enjoy. Enjoy it. Mm. And enjoy the downs as much as the ups.
That's it.
It's and you may not enjoy it at that moment.
No, that's the important part, isn't it?
It's that moment that you feel sad and you look for the exit. You look for the savior. Who's going to help me? Where's my guardian angel? Well, you're it. Mm. Because only you can make the connections. Only you can make the decisions to keep going. Mm. And the whole point is having like someone like myself walk alongside someone is having those hands, someone around your shoulder saying it's all right.
Yeah.
Shit happens.
So you're very, obviously you're quite big on mentorship.
Oh, massive.
Yeah.
I know how important it is.
Why is that?
Like the whole topic has been, it's about making decisions and it's about taking risk. It's about people telling you you're going to fail and you having to turn that into a motive or a vehicle for success. Mm. So really having mentors around are those ones that have done. They've been in battle. They've done it. And they've come out the other side a stronger man.
And they've probably got a recipe.
A stronger person, I should say. And they've changed the recipe. They got this thing at the beginning and it wasn't too much, but they've added new ingredients to it. And it's morphed into this amazing meal that feeds so many. It's nourishing, it's tasty, and you want it again. But what you did, I had a little bit more of a new experience, a new taste, a new feeling. Mm. And you put that into your recipe and all of a sudden you've got a book.
And then you've got the mentor has that recipe and they can pass it down to you. Then that's where the value comes in. Like, so Brent, my mentor from Power You, he's been training me out for 12 months. And we do calls, we train up how to be a presenter. Then I go do it on stage and I present. And then he writes notes and he gives me feedback along with the other presenters. And man, the growth is insane. Like for him, took him six years of doing like, you know, they only do what, two workshops a year now. But I was doing two every month and I had him mentoring. So I've been able to skip like 4 or 5 years of learning that he had to learn and he's just training me up. So I'm able to just rapidly grow because he's my mentor. And honestly, it would take me years to get to this point if I didn't have him. Years and years and years.
He sat with you
in
that room. He came with you and sat there and supported you. And having someone in an audience that you know, that you trust, that's giving you the thumbs up and saying, come on, keep going. It's okay. You can stumble. You can, your words, you create. I mean, I basically write a script, but it's a very vague script. We have totally gone off script. We talked about what we were going to talk about, and we've gone on our own tangent.
Yeah.
And I'm much more comfortable doing that because in real life, everyone's different. Everyone's had a different path, and everyone's going to approach a problem or an obstacle or a challenge in a different way.
I think I've asked you one question this entire podcast. People always go, what questions are you going to ask me? And I'm like, I don't know. I open with one question, which is what did you do after high school? I close with one question, which I'll ask you at the end. That's it.
Well, it's...
I don't know. And then everything else just happens. Like we're over an hour into this.
Are we really?
Yeah.
And it's gone in a flash. It feels like 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that is like what you had with your housemate.
Yes.
4 hours of time.
Man. We sat there. We went through a whole bottle of red, grabbed another one. We're just talking. Again, the original conversation about what I opened up about, you know, that was dead in the past. We were talking about what it means to be a man, the struggles we're going through. We talked about all this other stuff. Yeah, it went fast. It was great.
Well, your generation is probably an easier one to bring in than my generation.
Mm.
The pressure's on families because fathers and mothers have lost their jobs and can't pay their mortgage and the kids don't know what's going on. All it is a stressful place at home. It's really hard for my generation to see the positives in such a difficult time where you guys do have an opportunity to take some risk. And out there right now, probably some of the best businesses are created from fear. Opportunity comes now.
COVID started my business. I had about 10 clients on retainers. I had a lot of money coming in. I was spending a lot of money, as you do when you start out. I had all this money coming in. I'll get a better office. I'll get all this stuff I don't need because it's a business expense. I lost them all overnight except for one client who stuck with me. I lost them all. And then I was like, holy crap, what do I do? I'll start posting on TikTok. TikTok's been the greatest vehicle to push people to my podcast and grow my personal brand. It's been insane. And so that was it for me. And as you mentioned earlier on, when you're going down, you don't appreciate it. Of course not. You hate it. No one wants to go down. I didn't enjoy losing the clients. I didn't enjoy that. But looking back in hindsight, I learned a lot from it and it really helped me. What were we saying right before that?
What with?
I don't know. There's something good there. I had a point, but.
But you know what? That's the story of them. I've lost my way and because my ear sending my head into so many different places. But you know what? And what I was saying is everyone's got a different mechanism. They're made up differently.
Mm.
So what I've managed to learn along the way is I've learned to communicate with lots of different people.
Mm.
I've learned to understand that this person's problems are these person's strengths.
Do you think that's your greatest skill?
I think I'm fortunate to be able to be on the journey where I see people for who they are and what their gift is. And if they need some help, I know other people with gifts that are willing to give.
That's the other thing. See, the fastest way to open doors for yourself is to focus on opening doors for other people.
Oh my God, yes.
And how do you do that? Honestly, there's a lot of ways. My biggest way, just connect them. Oh, I know somebody can help you. Bang.
Like what we did with the boats. If your one didn't map out,
yeah,
I gave you an option.
Yeah. And I'm probably going to use that for the next boats.
But the fact of the matter is you had an option and what it probably did, the way the world works, is within a day or two, you could confirmation that you picked the boat. And when I rang you, you said, Monty, it's all right. I've got it.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, great job. Now, you've not let me down in any way other than I just see you as a doer.
But to clarify for listeners, basically, after our last interview, I said, I've got this boat party coming up. And then you went, oh, I know a guy. And that's what I mean. That could have been a huge door for me. And it might be in the future.
Still me, yeah.
It might be in the future. At the time, I had just booked a boat, so it's fine. But I want to do these probably 3 or 4 a year. So I'll probably use them in the future for sure.
And his son's 19. He's the perfect demographic.
His son might join the program. There you go.
But those are the sort of things you just never know. We've made a point of it on numerous occasions already. And I think that's probably what today is more about.
Yeah.
It's the connection I have with you. The connection you have with the guy next door, the connection what he makes with the next person, you just are in a world of vibrant positivity.
Broke people break people, but then, you know, hurt people hurt people. But then on the flip side, you know, I don't know what the saying is, but a changed life changes lives. That's it. If you can change someone's life, then they're going to go on to change someone's life. That kid in the cafe next door, he didn't change my life. He just put me in a good mood and I liked him. And I think I told my roommate about him. I told you about him. All he did was say some nice things. Like,
Well, they say a smile.
A smile goes such a big way.
Well, all you do.
He just had good energy, man. He just had such a good energy.
I go out every morning.
His stick.
With my stick, right?
Big bamboo stick.
Now, it's simple. It's light. My neighbor made it for me. An old Malaysian guy, he decided that I didn't know the difference between the top and the bottom. Mm. So he put a piece of red tape to tell me, this is the top. I said, great. Thanks very much. But he got me because he noticed my demeanor. I was sitting in front of the computer. I was starting to crouch my shoulders. He said, I think this is going to be helpful for you. Every morning I would go for a walk with the dog. He said, take the stick with you. So now I do my stretches. He says, I think you've grown. My partner says, what's going on? You look different. Mm. I said, it's my posture. My goddamn simple stick. And I tell everyone about what I do.
Yeah.
But the stick, that it's a sort of a symbol. I could, if someone comes in, if I take the dog out at night and someone comes for me, I've got something that I could use as a weapon. If I'm going on a rocky ground or I'm going down a hill or up a mountain, I've got something to keep me stable. Mm. And I've got something I can put in the air to be a bit of a beacon to attract people to me. So my stick, whilst it's simple, it's light, it's cheap, it's got so many functions. It makes me feel safe. And I tell everyone about what I use to keep me secure.
And about your Malaysian neighbor who just gave you a random act of kindness.
This guy's a simple bloke, but he's building 70 units. This guy's worth $100 million.
Right.
But this is the best gift I could get from him, was this. He will live with me forever. His message, his concern, his gift was for my benefit. He gave something to me. He cut it down.
Wow.
And made it for me.
Yeah.
He said, it will go brown, or sorry, it's so green. He apologized for the state of the stick. I said, mate, I'm grateful. And every morning he sees me with my stick. Mm. It makes him feel proud. I've given something back, and it's a gratitude. Now whatever he needs, I'll do for him.
Yeah, because he gave you a stick.
Because he gave me a goddamn stick.
And that's the whole point of this episode, isn't it? That's the whole point, in my opinion. It's like he didn't give you money, he didn't give you anything, but you're in debt. Not debt, but I guess you are almost in debt to him. Like if he came to you asking for a favor, of course you'd do it.
Yeah, but people, and that's what we want to change.
Yeah.
I'm no longer in debt.
No.
I have something in me that when the time comes up and the opportunity comes along, then I can give something back.
That's the wrong word.
But I need to be able to see it, to believe it, to give it back. And now I'm in a position to be a stick because I've got mine. I'm stable. I'm experienced. I've been through all the tough times or I've been through my journey, my experience, some tough, some not, but I've battled through. And really, I see your audience and I've got two kids, teenagers, coming up into this. They're probably still classed as the same generation.
Gen Z, yeah.
Yeah, they're just going on 16.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I got lots of 16-year-olds listening.
Yeah, so, and I think my daughter listens to you as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so she's almost 16.
Yeah.
Now, for those guys, given that they've just spent the last 2 years sitting at home, we might not be as nimble as we were before. I think we talked about basketball game last time.
Yes, I remember you saying. Yeah, you were saying
something. And really, it's about having the energy to jump, to put the ball in the hoop. But you can't do that if you've been crunched up in a room in a ball. Your hamstrings are gone. You haven't got that spring in your step. So now it's about training. It's about getting ready, preparing your journey, whether it's business, whether it's pleasure, whether it's travel. I mean, if you choose business, then there are people out there available to give you help. There's lots of different coaches. There's lots of different advisors and consultants. And some bond better with other people. You know, I'm not saying that I know every single type of person or I can help every single type of person. You have to build a connection. And when you have the connection, that's when the magic happens.
100%. And that's where, you know, it's kind of what your new project is, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you've got the business. We talked about the signage business that's grown. You've got a big team now. You've taken a year off.
Yeah. And I get paid.
You don't?
I do.
Yeah, yeah. You get paid because you've built the foundation.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not many. First of all, not many people can take a year off ever in their life, except for retirement.
I didn't believe I would be able to until the last 12, 24 months, where I actually saw it. Then I knew what I wanted. I had my new goal. The only way to get my dream was this way. And I know in business, it's about diversification. It's some goes in shares, some in property, some in crypto. It's about spreading your options. Because if one does start to sink for whatever reason, not yours, global pandemic, you've opened a cafe just now, or you, what you did in your business, it's always nice to have something else to work on, to distract you, to keep you motivated that my dream's not dead. If this does happen, it's never dead. It's just the learning curve. But mine is about being able to pivot. Mine is about being able to identify opportunity, say, you know what, I'm going to park that, but I'm ready. I know all the 10 things I've got to do. I've got 3 in place, 5 I'm sorted, but the other 2 or 3 I'm concerned about. So now I'm actively seeking, I'm manifesting what I need for this. But I'm going to find it in this business. And the answers to your journey or to your destiny or where you're going to go, you don't know where they're coming from. The more things you get involved with, the more exciting life is.
Yeah. I mean, there's that quote, like, die with memories, not make memories, not money. Oh.
I know. There's so many different.
I can't remember the exact one. I really liked it. Maybe I'll, I don't know. I can't remember it, which is annoying. It's like one sentence and I've forgotten it. But I really liked it. And it was, yeah, it's just memories and experiences, isn't it? Because that's what life is ultimately.
I know what you're talking about. You didn't need to use the words.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And that's the thing.
Everyone knows what I'm talking
about. Everyone knows what you're talking about. So the point is you've made the point. The people who connect to you get it and understand it. And the fact that you don't remember the sentence, it's absolutely immaterial.
Yeah.
People don't go away saying, oh, he forgot the words. They go away with the message. This is what he said. And that's it. You leave behind a memory. And if the more memories you leave behind, positive ones, then when you're on that bed and you're looking back on what your life was, I think there's going to be a lot of people there with their eyes on you with maybe a tear in their eye saying, wow. And not from sadness, from gratitude that they're there, that they got to share the moment, they get to say goodbye, they get to say thank you. Those are the things, and that's what I hope on the final day that I'm here, that's what happens. I know when my mom passed away, she was a giver. She gave everything. And on that day, I've never said, it's okay, or sorry to hear your loss. Thanks very much. I can't believe those hundreds of people I had to shake hands with to say that. And a sad moment, but I came away so proud of what my mom had done that I wanted to emulate.
Even a
fraction of that, I know.
Impacted enough people that you got to see firsthand all the people she'd impacted.
Yeah. And that, for me, even today, it would be easy for me to shed a tear about that. Not because I'm sad, but because I'm lucky. And I enjoyed what I got. And if on the flip side, what I can say is some of the most incredible people I've ever met and watched in business have come from the most traumatic backgrounds. So it builds strength. We know it. We see successful people and we hear their stories. Didn't go to university, was a dropout. Everyone told me I was going to fail. Now look at them. And so those are the inspiring stories. They're the people that you get on. They're the people that you talk to inspire.
But here's the interesting thing, because I hear a lot of those stories, but then I go, and this is what's up at comfort zones in Australia. When you live in Australia, most people don't have those rag to riches story. Because if you're in Australia, you immediately got healthcare. You can go on Centrelink. Just by being an Australian citizen, you're ahead of most people in the world. Even if you've got nothing and you're homeless, just by being in Australia. And the weather is phenomenal. Look at the outside. Clear blue skies. Last night I said it was raining, but it cleared up for the rest of the party. Beautiful sunset.
We're so lucky.
You know, it's just phenomenal country. And so a lot of people don't have that pain that fuels them. They live in a 6 out of 10 life. They're just very comfortable. And that's where I'm like, that's who I kind of want to target my messaging to. It's like, if you're very comfortable, try recognize that. That can be dangerous. That's a reason you're not traveling. You're not going out. You're not taking risks because you know you've got safety. You know, you might have the illusion of safety. and I'll just do this. I'll just go get a degree for a few years while I figure out what I want to do. Whatever it is, right? That's a common example I see. But I mean, yeah, I mean, a lot of people you see who are super successful had to hit rock bottom before they're able to grow.
And you know what? It's funny you mentioned homeless. I have a friend who has a charity. He feeds the homeless at Central Station here in Sydney. And I wanted to go and help. I want to get involved. Now, I can sponsor him. I can put stickers on his cars. I can give him money to help with buying food or barbecues or whatever. I can introduce him to people who want to give but don't have the time. So I can introduce some great things to help his business run, because that's what it is. It's got to function. It's got to survive. But what I enjoy the most is I actually go down and I actually put the barbecue on.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get firsthand to see these guys, to meet these guys and say that they're no different than me. Mm. I want to see them happy. Mm. I can't go and solve all their financial woes. And to be honest, not all of them have financial woes. Some of them just have mental strength issues and they just can't deal with the day to day. They don't like their neighbor or they don't live in particularly fantastic areas or places where there is risks for them. They're elderly. Some of these are in their 70s. Some of them are in their teens. You know, so it's such a diverse range of people that are on the streets that I get to learn so much from them. They give you so much back.
You think it gives you more gratitude and perspective as well for what you have?
Yeah. I ask my kids. I take my
my
kids with me and have done since my son was 12.
One of the greatest things, and I'm very big at looking at like your past now. It's something I've come in talking about quite a bit and learning about, like the subconscious mind and like how your childhood affects you. And I remember I went to Thailand when I was 11 years old, and we went for 2 weeks to live in like a beautiful island for my uncle and auntie's wedding. But before that, we did 2 weeks in rural Thailand. My parents wanted to give us that kind of experience. We partnered with our friends who have a charity called Partners, and we went around, and oh my God, it changed my life. I saw what kids were living in. You know, I saw people living in dumpsters. You know, we came and because we were coming, they gave us like really nice food, and it was rubbery sausages and eggs that were kind of disgusting for us, but it was the best food they had. And we just sit there and eat it while everyone else would have loved to have it. And we were like, we don't want this. Oh my God. But it was just an incredible experience for me to be like, holy crap, I've been in the Australian bubble. I really have a lot of gratitude for what we've got right now.
It's funny because when I was 11, I left boarding school and my father was posted to Thailand. So I went to school in Bangkok.
Oh, really?
From 11 to 13.
Wow, wow.
So that was in 1986 to 88. That was, I spent 2 years at an international school, and that's where my parents start to give me, they let me walk out the door. Mm. Of the hotel or the house or the compound, and we had the maids and every single thing. And it's not that you want them. My mom didn't want maids, but you had to have them because you were seen as an economy that you had to employ them. Mm. That's just the rule. Mm. So
you're not having them for convenience. You just
want you must have them.
Wow. I think it's a good thing.
And people think you're like snobby or whatever. And you know, you've got maids. Well, you had no choice.
Yeah.
My father earned a lot of money. His job was to share that wealth with the lesser fortunate in Thailand, which, as you said, there's dumpsters, there's people living on the edge of a river where they brush their teeth, and some dudes, you know, going to the toilet just up to... It's absolutely horrendous.
One village we went to, we rocked up in a ute, and we basically went to a supermarket and bought a whole bunch of stuff for them. We gave every kid a little bag of chips, just a little bag, one. They held onto it like it was on their life. Everyone was holding onto it. They would never let go of it. We gave them all like a toothbrush, very minimal stuff. Like it cost us peanuts. For us, nothing. It's wrong how little it was. I felt almost like a god.
Yeah.
It really gave me a lot of perspective. And even then, I don't think I really comprehended it at 11 years old. But there was, you know, they'd come up to us, play horrible music, and we were like, oh, this is great. Give them some money. My mum bought like everything for my younger sister. They wanted to buy all the clothes and all the bags. They were actually very nice, but we didn't need them. Again, we're just paying. We just wanted to, because they would never take your money.
They
don't take your money, but you can buy their stuff. So you just buy as much as you can just because you want to help them out.
Well, when they go home, they get to say, I've sold 4 bags.
Yeah.
It's a successful day.
Yeah.
If you give the money of a charity, then it's They're here to sell. They're in a business. And studies, they're entrepreneurs.
Studies have shown that that actually doesn't help because it's there's no economy then. There's just money coming in. Whereas if you can help them, you know, teach a fisherman how to fish and you'll get fish for life rather than give them the fish. That's right. And so rather than just giving them money, if you go and you teach them how to set up something so they can start selling, how to farm, how to grow your own food, that's better charity than just donating.
Teaching from experience.
Yeah.
And it's just a big cycle.
Mm.
And it's where are you on your cycle?
Mm.
And you guys, Gen Z, where are you on the cycle? Where you're the future leaders.
Mm.
Leaders today, they're so confused. They don't know which side to go on. Who do we trust? Medical, you know, from a religion, we're not allowed to do this. And well, you should do this because everyone else is doing it. People are so confused.
Mm.
So it's time to pull your generation is what we need to teach and to nurture to connect. Because we need saving.
I know.
This world is...
It does excite me because I think Gen Z have a lot of... They're very consciously aware of problems and they want to make a difference for some. I think a lot of Gen Z are lazy and have no drive. And so there's a mix of in between. So I'm curious. I am excited for us, Gen Z and millennials, to enter into more leadership because I agree. And it feels very messy, current politics. And in Australia, I don't know... America looks crazy as well. Like, I don't know much about politics and leadership and stuff, but just from an outsider point of view, it looks like they don't know what they're doing. And look, COVID, no one really knows what they're doing. But I mean, if you look like Jacinta Ardern or something in New Zealand, she feels like she knows what she's doing, even though she might not. She seems to have a level of respect. The entire country seems to respect her. She's getting good results. She's smiling. She just seems like she knows what she's doing.
She's confident in herself. She trusts herself.
Yes.
And that comes from having a great team around.
Yeah.
She's had her upbringing is, I'm not entirely sure of what her past is either, but I know when I see her, she's a strong woman. Yeah. She's brave because she's putting herself in the spotlight to get taken down.
Look at the confidence she has versus Scott Morrison. And like, she just, I don't know what it is. And look, I've read a bit about her. She's, you know, she's achieved a lot, but for people don't know, Jacinta Ardern is a New Zealand Prime Minister. She's basically, you know, she's doing a phenomenal job. But yeah, I agree.
Scott Morrison has put himself in the spotlight. Brave man. He believes in something. However, now that he's there, you're pulled all directions.
Yeah.
Politics nowadays is all about belittling someone.
Yeah.
And saying what you think is wrong. Well, I thought politics was all about working together for the greater good. You've got the left and the right, and you've got the center.
Hypothetically.
But you really think, well, if we take the best of this and we bring the best of this, then this is great for business and this is great for the people.
Mm.
You know, honestly, one of the things I say, I've got 30 staff. And it's sad to say, it's just a fact of life. I need those people.
Mm.
I need those people to dream about their job. Because I need employees. And you guys out there are the future leaders, pioneers, new business, you know, new community elders. You've got politicians, you're going to have diplomats. You guys have got such a huge chance to make such a massive difference in this place, and we need it.
I hope people are listening to that because I agree. I think we have a big opportunity, and I hope young people realize that and take advantage of it and really, you know, really ride that. Because I think it's a great message. And I 100% believe in it.
Get your stick. You need to be a beacon.
Yep.
You need people to see you. You need people to trust you and believe in you. Mm. But we can't all do that.
Yeah.
There are a special few that can do it. And it's really about standing up and being heard. Don't be afraid to say what you think. Don't be afraid to cry. Don't be afraid to cheer. Don't be afraid to give some time.
Mm.
Give some money. Because you have that. And you have something to share.
Yeah.
So it's really about your audience are, I believe, if the entrepreneurs, these guys are the brave ones, the ones we need.
Mm.
The rest are the ones that you need.
Yes.
To help you achieve
your
dream.
Yeah.
But along the way, if you can help them achieve theirs, then you have made such a massive impact in this world that I think when you look back or people look at you, they see someone who's changed what's going on, and you are always going to have your people who say, you should have done this, you should have said this. We live in a world where we see it every day.
Mm.
Depending on what news channel you watch, will determine how they perceive someone or explain to you what they think they are. And people believe it. Mm. Great. So we're influencers, we're manipulators, but you need to be doing it for the right reason. And if you can manipulate a group of people in a certain way to move for the greater good, then it benefits everyone. That's it. And those are the people that need to do the work.
I mean,
your soldiers.
I might not even ask you this question because I feel like that was your answer. I was going to ask you, what would your number one piece of advice be for the younger generation? I feel like you just answered it. But, I mean, we'll go anyway. What would your number one piece of advice be for the younger generation?
You've got to trust yourself. You've got to be prepared to be wrong. You've got to be prepared to work and put time into others before you sometimes take for yourself. And because I'll tell you now, this is totally unscripted. You've taken me into places I did not plan to happen.
That's the goal.
So that is the goal, to bring people and put people into a space where they may not feel comfortable. You are the future. And you, when I'm sitting in that rocking chair, I want to be looking back on you guys and saying, you know what, I did make a difference. Mm. And you guys are going to make a difference. Mm. And only you can determine what difference it is. And if you are going to be one of the next leaders of your business, of your church, of your school, PCYC, whatever you decide to do, there's so many opportunities to be someone who gives back. Mm. And what I believe this world, if you are one of those people, it will certainly reward you.
One of the six human needs is contribution. You know, you can earn as much as you want, but you know, where does fulfillment come from? A lot of it comes from contributing. Especially for, I think it's very important when you live in a country like this and we have the level of wealth we do. I know a lot of people out there feel like they have no money. You know, Sydney's expensive. I get it. But, you know, as you mentioned, you can donate your time. You can go work overseas, donate your time in Africa, or I know people have done that. You know, they've helped at Nepal. Good Joe, he went to Nepal, changed his entire life. You know, it gave him great perspective. He was helping a lot of people there. Like, there's a lot you can do. I think you have a lot of power, and I agree. I think young people are going to hopefully, I really believe in Gen Z. I hope they can do well, but hopefully when you are on your rocking chair, you can look back and
I'm going to see those beacons.
Yeah.
I'm going to see how big those flames have got.
Yeah.
So you have an opportunity, grab it, take risk. Don't see failure as a bad thing. See it as a challenge. See it as something you've got to climb out of. The dips are where you learn the most. The peaks are where you share the most. It's where you get to give back. But this is where you learn. Mm. And those memories and experiences is what you get to share. You're right. It's not about money. It's about time and experience. And if I can help people with my experience, which makes their level route to success a little bit quicker, then I'm giving my time back. And the quicker I can get someone like that into a position of influence, then the quicker we can start changing this world.
And maybe it means, if you know, it's not about money sort of thing. It's like, well, maybe it means rather than working for this firm, you go work for a different firm which has a focus on impact and helping. You take a pay cut. I've got friends, life-changing accountants, it's kind of like their slogan. They donate for every dollar they save their clients, they donate a day of clean water in whatever country. It's a few cents, cost them a few cents, times that over, you know, $1 million worth of saving. You know, it's like $100,000 or something. And so everyone who comes in believes in that vision. They believe in that. And people have taken pay cuts from higher, you know, the big four accounting firms and stuff. They've worked with the big accounting firms, taken pay cuts to go work with them because they believe in the impact and the vision. And I think that's all you should be striving for. I would almost always take the one that you align with more, even if there's a financial cut.
Well, knowing that you sometimes walk into a road or down a path or open the door that you're a bit scared of, you're a bit nervous of, they are the times that are going to give you the moments to make an impact. It's you have to see to be brave. You have to be willing to strive to be the best you possibly can, whether that's financial, whether that's, you know, you're a CEO or you own your own business or you're a manager or you're a forklift driver. It doesn't matter. You all have a role to play in society. And you all have an opportunity to be better. You need to be the best expression of yourself. Mm. And that's what my intention is, to help people be the best they possibly can. Or to have a dream and to help them get there.
Do you know what it is? And I need to wrap it up, but I want to make this final point. I think a lot of what I do, and I think what a lot of you, what you want to do as well, is give young people hope. It's that, you know, there's not much hope in the world right now. It feels like that.
100%.
And so if you can, and that's what I do with the podcast. I feel like I give them hope. That's kind of like my goal. I'm like, when they listen to the podcast, sure, they might not get, you know, as much out of it, but if they just go, oh, someone is talking, they're thinking differently. They're encouraging me to do this. They've given me hope that I can actually go travel. I can do this. That's kind of like my dream. So yeah, I really want to help young people have hope, especially now more than ever after we've been crushed from COVID, you know, when hope's kind of been decimated. It's like the world is actually a very exciting place. There's a lot of good stuff going on. The media won't really show it. Don't tune out into that. There's actually a lot of cool stuff going on.
Yeah. My what I would say is I might get in a little bit of trouble. I have a mentor who suggested a certain script, a certain way to make this interview flow. But what I got was a great conversation, a great opportunity to sit with someone who people admire, who I get to share my story with, and he shares it with his crew. Mm. And for that, I'm grateful.
To be honest.
And I'm happy that this, what I wrote down and what I thought I was going to say, I barely said any of it.
Yeah.
But I think we did, but just in a totally different way than I was expecting it to go. So thank you. I pivoted. I thought, whatever this is going to be, I look forward to it. I'm excited for it. I wrote three different speeches. I didn't use one of them. Mm. So the script, I got my daughter to read. I got everyone to give me the feedback, and she didn't like parts. So I changed it. I talked differently, but I think you've guided this interview so well, and I'm so grateful that how you did it has helped me. I'm a better man today. I'm a stronger person, more courageous from this experience.
Thank you.
I would encourage anyone to come and do this with you, because it took me out of my comfort zone. Mm. But you opened up yours, and I feel comfortable sitting here talking to you. So thank you.
My pleasure. I was just going to say, you forget we're in a podcast, don't you?
Yeah.
We got lights, camera, big microphones in our face, and I just feel like I'm having a chat, which is always my goal. You know, I told you I don't plan any questions.
Well, it's you come after this.
I knew we were never going to use the script. You were telling me through, and I was just like, I'll let him riddle it off, but I know we're not going to use it. It's still good to have. It gives me a bit of guidance. Oh, you want to cover a few points like that. But as you mentioned, we probably covered most of the points just in different stories, in a different way or whatever.
And there's a reason why the last one, there was a chainsaw in the background.
I believe that
I got
well.
To do this again.
I believe that as well, honestly.
I'm grateful. Your studio is incredible. The Sandstone studio. I love it.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm so grateful for the world giving you this.
Mm. We already said at the beginning, but the last interview we did an hour. We filmed the whole thing. You came out. There's a bloody chainsaw in the background that I just wasn't happy with. You know, I was like, can I just redo it? We got the new studio. And I believe that as well. I believe there was a reason the chainsaw happened.
This is really cool. Now I get to go and spruik the time I spent with you. Mm. So I think you'll have more followers on your podcast. People are going to feel connected to you because of my connection to you. So that's what I have to give back.
And so I'll talk about this in the introduction and stuff, but you're working with young people now, aren't you? So
I work, I go to schools, I feed the homeless, I do several other podcasts. Whatever time I have spare, I give back. So
if people want to get in contact with you, find out more about what you're doing right now, and they've resonated with you, what's the best way to do that?
Go on the website,
watchwell.com.au.
Watchwell.com.au. Yep, watchwell. Sorry, accent perhaps make things difficult. I'm on LinkedIn, David Montgomery. And my profile there says I'm a founder, business owner, and a connector. Mm. So I've got companies Scaffad, Spike Design, and now Watchwell, which is my own. You can give them there.
Yeah, I'll put all the links below.
Put it all in, mobile number, whatever. However someone wants to connect. And I don't care where they are. Mm. I don't care what time they call. If there's people out there that need some help, a 10-minute call, an hour call, ring me. Mm. And let's see if I can get you on board with a program and help you out, just the same as you do.
I think it'd be awesome. So I'll put all that in the intro, but definitely take advantage of that. But otherwise, Monty, thanks so much for coming on the podcast. It's been a great episode, and I'm really excited to get it out there.
Aaron, thanks so much, mate. Really appreciate it.